Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. The Christmas present from Washington this season is tax cuts. And so today's program is about tax cuts. As of this recording, Trump's tax cut plan passed the House, and the Senate passed their version. And if they can vote on the reconciliation of both bills, we will have tax cuts this year. The main provision is that the base corporate tax rate will go from 39% to around 20 or 24%. And the vast majority of people love tax cuts. The Bible often addresses the subject of taxes and people's rebellion against taxes. We remember that Israel was split into the southern and northern kingdoms in about 930 BC when King Rehoboam refused to cut taxes. In the Gospels, we read that everyone hated tax collectors. One of the pretexts of the Jewish zealots to justify their terrorism against the Roman occupation was Roman taxes. And the political leadership of Israel tried to entrap Jesus with questions about taxes. And at this time of year, we remember that Joseph and Mary had to travel to Bethlehem because of taxes. People have always despised a ruling class that takes money from workers to enrich themselves. A number of years ago, a columnist in Chicago, Mike Royko, wrote a number of Christmas satirical songs. And I've never forgotten his rendition of Good King Wenceslas. So if you can endure for a few moments, let me sing this for you. Good King Wenceslas went out ere the feast of Stephen. Merchandise lay all about, price beyond believing. Woe, said good King Wenceslas, such expensive presents. Isn't it a lucky thing? I can tax the peasants. Well, we really sometimes feel like peasants working for the king, because half the year we're working for the government. By the time we pay the federal taxes and the state taxes and the sales tax and the property tax, more than 50% of your income goes to support the government. Now, that's hard to figure out on an individual basis because a lot of people don't pay any federal taxes. But they do in that they pay higher prices on everything, which pays for taxes. Now, the way to determine that we pay 50% of total income to the government is to take the total of all American income, which is about $13 trillion, and set it against government tax receipts, federal and state, which is about $6.6 trillion. And that's just about 50%. So no one likes taxes, but you might ask, why are so many voters objecting to these tax cuts? And why do certain politicians and certain parties want to raise taxes? Well, because they believe in socialism. They want to run more and more economic activity through the government. So they see Trump's tax cuts as the end of the world, the end of progress. And remember, there's a whole class of people that benefit from taxation, the king and the king's family. Government workers, teachers, police, firemen, government social workers, IRS agents, the 5,000 people who work for the Department of Education, and all of these people have family. And the more people working for government, the more people have a vested interest in supporting socialism. And not only the people working for government, but those people getting some benefit from government, healthcare, Social Security, unemployment, education. And socialists know that the more private business they can run through government, the more people have an economic incentive to favor big government. If you are doing everything on your own, your healthcare, your housing, your education, your retirement, even your job, then you don't need government. You don't want government to take money from you. But if the statists can take from people all of the private money that they spend on these things and bring it into government and then the government returns those services, then the public will depend upon government. And any cut to government will be a cut to them. Now, in economic theory, this extends the Laffer curve. The Laffer curve demonstrates that simple principle that the more a government taxes, the less money the government will take in because people only have so much money. And if you take their money, they not only lose an incentive to work, but they also have less money to grow their business. So once a government sets rates over 25%, the government starts to bring in less money. Unless they are taxing people to cover services that the people used to pay for themselves. Education, retirement, healthcare. Then the rate can be higher without adversely affecting the economy. And the statists, those who believe in big government, want to extend the Laffer curve because it allows them to tax at a 50% rate. And it allows them to secure more power for government. Now, I've covered this in past programs, but for the sake of review, this was the warning of the prophet Samuel to Israel when they wanted a king. 1 Samuel chapter 8. So Samuel spoke all of the words of the Lord to the people who had asked of him a king. He said, "This will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take of your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and of 50, and some to do his plowing and to reap his harvest and to make his weapons of war and equipment for chariots. He will also take your daughters for perfumers and cookers and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will also take your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys and use them for his work. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his servants. Then you will cry out in that day because of the king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." In other words, you made your bed, now you have to sleep in it. Now, the socialists would say about this text of scripture, this would be a great thing because the king would be creating jobs, perfumers and cookers and bakers and farmers and government servants, government employees, and everyone would benefit. We're all working for the common good. But the problem with running everything through government is that it ends in economic oppression. God's plan is for everyone to be economically free and to take economic responsibility rather than having the king fight our battles for us. And those who support a socialist economic system think that they're coming out ahead by pooling income and taking from the rich, but they're thinking short term. They're deceived into thinking they're getting something for nothing. And in the end, they're only hurting themselves. So currently, the corporate tax rate in America is 39.1%, the third highest in the world. Chad is first. United Arab Emirates is second, and United States is third. The world average is only 23%. Europe, which is very socialistic, their corporate tax rate is only 18.7%. Russia taxes businesses at 24% and Communist China at 25%. And only 15% if the Chinese government wants to encourage a certain business. So it's no wonder that the United States is running a $500 billion a year trade deficit, $45 billion a month. U.S. manufacturers have gone overseas because it's so expensive to do business in America. And the argument coming from the Republican Party is that if we don't get our corporate taxes in line with the rest of the world, we're going to destroy our economy in the long term. But let me mention this. One should also argue that regardless of pragmatic results, a 40% tax rate is immoral. In 2016, a number of Republican presidential candidates made the point that if 10% is good enough for God, then it should be good enough for government. Isn't there a point at which a tax rate can become theft, injustice? Because what if the government decides to take 70% or 90% or 99.9%? You see, taxes have to be based on some higher, transcendent standard of liberty and morality. Because if it's based simply on government need, the government will always find a reason to need more, right up to the last penny. If the principle is that we ought to do business through government, then eventually all economic activity takes place through government. Tax forms can be very simple. How much should you make? Send it in. So, economic morality needs to be based on God's transcendent law rather than on pragmatism, what works. This is true in sexual morality. This is also true in economic morality. If the standard is man's need or man's desires, then anything is permissible. And we soon get fascism or communism, where might makes right. Micah chapter 2, verse 1. When morning comes, they do it, for it is in the power of their hand. In other words, they do it because they can get away with it. And the Bible makes the point that taxation can become immoral and unjust. Matthew 23:4, the Pharisees and the lawyers lay heavy burdens on men's shoulders. That implies that they have broken a proper standard. Leviticus 19:13. You shall not oppress your neighbor nor rob him. Jeremiah 22:17. But your eyes and your heart are intent only upon your own dishonest gain. Micah chapter 2, they covet fields and seize them, and houses, they take them away. They rob a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Micah chapter 3, hear now, heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who tear off their skin from them and their flesh from their bones, who eat the flesh of my people, stripping off their skin from them, break their bones and chop them up for the pot, and as meat in a kettle? In other words, the rulers were using people like livestock. So, in view of tax policy, there needs to be economic justice. And a good case could be made that all corporate taxes should be eliminated because they're unfair. Let me explain. Corporate tax is a double taxation. The business profits get taxed, and then the individuals get taxed when those profits are distributed. 39% at the corporate level, and then whatever individual tax rate someone pays. So the effective tax rate can be between 60 and 70%. The only way to explain this is with an illustration. Imagine if you did a job with three other individuals. Let's say you painted a house. And together you made $3,000. $1,000 each. But before you split up the earnings, the government comes along and takes 35% of those earnings. So now you only have $1,950 to distribute. $650 each. Then once you get your $650, the government takes another 35% in personal income tax. So in the end, you only have $422. So why should the government tax corporate revenue as income and then tax it a second time when it goes to the owners in the form of dividends? A corporation is not a person. It's a group of people working together. Why should they be taxed twice? I mean, how would you like it if the government taxed your paycheck with withholdings and then taxed you again on that same amount at the end of the year? Now, the government does this because politicians see an entity, a corporation, that has collected a large sum of money and therefore becomes a good target for taxes. But it would be a whole lot fairer and simpler to have a personal corporate dividend withholding tax, just like there's a personal income withholding tax. The IRS doesn't have to spend all of this time trying to figure out the income of a corporation, which is impossible to police. The only thing that gets taxed is the distribution of that income to the individuals in the corporation. Now, that would make perfect sense in a world of justice and logic. But you're never going to see that in the kingdoms of this world. And I'll get to that in a moment, because that's the spiritual lesson in all this. But let me first answer this question. Why have businesses, or anyone, put up with this 39% corporate tax rate? And the answer is because people have found a way to work around this tax, so that the effective corporate tax rate paid in America is really about 12%. Even back in the 1950s, when the corporate tax rate was 50% before the Kennedy and Reagan tax cuts, corporations did not pay 50% tax on their income, because many business owners do not incorporate, but instead create sole proprietorships, partnerships, subchapter S corporations, which are called pass-through organizations, meaning they're taxed just one time. The business is taxed as an individual making money, which is very unfair for corporations. The way corporations deal with the problem is by eliminating their profits, by reinvesting the profits, or by buying other businesses. This way, the value of the company goes up and the stock price goes up without having to disclose income. The stockholders potentially make money on paper, and they would rather have unrealized income so that they don't have to pay taxes. Take, for example, Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg. They have a personal net worth of billions, but they haven't paid taxes on any of that money. It's still all unrealized income sitting in stocks. And what difference does it make whether your wealth is in stock or in American paper money? In fact, it's better to have your wealth in stocks and in corporate ownership, and then you just pay taxes when you withdraw some of it for personal expenses. But the point here is that because of high corporate taxes, people and businesses engage in some rather unproductive, foolish business practices to avoid paying taxes. And that hurts us all. And this is an argument for why corporate taxes should be eliminated or become reasonable, so that businesses would function in a way that helps productivity rather than in a way that helps them to avoid taxes. But you know what happens if a politician votes to cut corporate taxes? Special interest groups rally uneducated, unprincipled people to protest, as if the tax-cutting congressman is Ebenezer Scrooge. And so special interest statists fool people into wanting higher taxes. In Jesus' day, there were plenty of Jews who were of the party of the Herodians. They favored Roman taxes. It benefited them, and so they would promote it among the common people. I tell you, the whole thing is one big deception, one big mess. One group gets pitted against another group, and the people in power cash the checks. As one pundit once said, politics is the gentle art of getting votes from the poor and campaign funds from the rich by promising to protect each from the other. In closing, what is being ignored in this entire debate about tax cuts is government deficit spending. The government is still spending more money than it takes in taxes. Government spends about $4 trillion a year and brings in $3 trillion and some change. So the government has to borrow every year between half and $1 trillion. And this is called the government deficit, the spread between taxes and expenditures. The total government debt is $20 trillion. And it's more than doubled in the last 8 years under President Obama. And if you go to usdebtclock.org, you can see the numbers piling up. As every minute, the government has to borrow hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, what the government is doing is monetizing this debt, simply printing off dollars to pay it off. And this creates inflation. Even the debt non-monetized creates inflation, because the issuance of debt is really a form of currency. And what inflation does is it devaluates everyone's money. The groceries that used to cost you $40 now cost you $250. So it is a way to tax everyone, especially the 50% of Americans who pay no federal taxes at all. Politicians know it's very unpopular to raise taxes. But by using debt and inflation, everyone gets taxed without them knowing they're being taxed. So Congress has worked a 2 to 3% inflation rate into the economy to help fund government spending. Do you understand these things? Well, if it's confusing, it's designed to be confusing. It's one big Ponzi scheme. It's one big shell game. But here's the overall lesson I want us to take from tax cuts, from government debt. If you're looking for economic justice in this world controlled by unregenerate people who are by nature children of wrath, you're never going to find it. Oh, you may be able to make a few adjustments along the way, but that which is truly just and logical and fair will not be done by the people of this world. Because they do not do what is economically just, they do whatever favors them. The Herods, the Pilates, the Pharisees of this world will always lay heavy burdens on men's shoulders and be unwilling to lift those burdens themselves even with a finger. And if you're looking for economic security on earth, abandon all hope. Because there is really no such thing as earthly wealth. It's all just numbers in a bank account or pieces of paper called stock certificates. But they really have no intrinsic, lasting value. Let me close with this illustration. I was with some friends who recently had to sell off a family estate. And they brought up the subject of Hummel figures. I wasn't very familiar with the name, but these figures, Hummels, made in Germany, were very popular collector items in the 20th century. The Hummel factory made a limited number of these figurines every year, and people would buy these figurines as Christmas presents, anniversary presents. And even though they cost up to $300, even back in the 1950s, the buyers thought that they were making an investment. Well, today at auction, you can't give them away. Auctioneers are pleading with people to buy two for a dollar. People in 2017 are not interested in buying Hummel figures. So, the lesson here is not to avoid investing in figurines. The lesson is that this really applies to everything on earth, even gold and real estate. Remember, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And Jesus also said in John 6:27, "Labor not for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for in him the Father has set his seal." And by the way, that which has the seal, the guarantee, is Jesus. Tax cuts, they're nice. But you're never ultimately going to get a fair shake in this world. The only justice, the only economic fairness, will be in the kingdom of Christ. Therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. To listen to this program again or other past programs, go to our website, godandcountryradio.org. You can visit our Facebook page, God and Country Radio, and join the group. You can leave a comment after each program synopsis. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, in this season of spending, in this season of gift giving, help us to remember what is of true value, the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation through him. And help us to communicate the riches of Christ to this lost and impoverished world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.